Welcome to Your Right to Speak, discussions on child rights, social justice, and advocacy. This is episode 17. I'm your host, Salvatore.
And I'm Jen.
Yeah, and Jen is on the phone again, unfortunately. Today will kind of be a different type of episode on Your Right to Speak. Me and Jen will be kind of wrapping up our time together and just be talking about some of our favorite episodes, what we've learned so far from our interviews, and talk about ways forward. So I guess let's just go right into it. Jen, what have you learned so far? What has stood out from you from the time since we've been together? And we've been together since August, which time really flies by.
Yeah, definitely. I think overall, there's definitely a lot of like interesting pieces that are every conversation we've had. But I think generally overall, like one thing that I learned or that I saw with a lot of different people who we interviewed was that despite, like, everyone has a different story. So whether it's your child has autism or whether you went through sexual abuse.
I just think it's really nice to show the resiliency that people have in their lives, no matter, like, what their struggles have been. Because we looked at a lot of different cases that weren't similar, right? Like, we looked at autism, we looked at sexual abuse.
Yeah, I mean, even the time since I've started the podcast, which has been, I think almost a year. It's been almost a full, or it's a year and a bit now. I've learned so much, and one of the main themes that I've seen across all the episodes I've done with you and with Josh has been around lived experience and the importance of understanding the day-to-day experiences of people, and including that whether it's in policy or programs or just working with the individual themselves.
Yeah, definitely.
I've also noticed, and I'll use the word adultism a lot, particularly when we've talked about with issues specifically with children and youth, and how sometimes adults see youth in a certain light and really don't give them credit for knowing what they want or what knowing what their needs are. I hope that our future episodes can kind of concentrate on that a bit more too, and just, you know, look at it and, you know, really kind of tackle the adultism or adultist minds that youth really do know what they want, and it's just about including them and meeting them where they're at.
Definitely. And another thing too, like, I know we talked to a lot of people who are in the child and youth welfare sector in different ways. But I guess, like, when you work with those people and you see those people, it's kind of like all you see is the good. And sometimes you don't really highlight, like, oh, this is where there needs to be, like, improvement. Because, like, for me, I work and I see all these wonderful people and they're doing so much for society. And it's almost hard to be like, no, though, there's people who don't believe in that and there are things that are hindering these processes and there are things that need to be done. So for me, like, I would love in the future to hear different people's ideas or what their strategies to fix things in society would be like.
Yeah, definitely. One of the main reasons why I had wanted to start this podcast was to really talk about the issues that no one's talking about, and that just goes very much of what you're saying. I think, and I hope the listeners do want us to continue to kind of push that forward and really bring to light some issues that really are not often talked about but are very important.
Yeah, I think it's very important, and also I think we do have an interest and a curiosity about it as well. Because it's not something that's always brought to light. Like, nobody wants to hear about these sad things that happen when they're going about their day. So I think it's something that is also important and interesting to hear about.
So, Jen, we've been together since August. What have you learned throughout the episodes? Or what have been your favorite episodes so far?
Oh God. Okay, I have different highlights from each episode, but I think my favorite would have to be the one with Marlene. I am a psych major, so learning about the different effects of sexual abuse through the whole like life period, like, you know, from a baby to when you're an adult, how that affects the psyche in people's behavior was really interesting to me. And it found a bunch of facts that I hadn't known before. So just for learning like new knowledge, I think that was my favorite one. And I think one of the most touching ones for me was when we interviewed that couple for autism, because just hearing their experience as a parent, and I don't have that experience, was touching. Because you could kind of hear the love in their voice. So it was like you could hear the emotion.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that was very powerful to listen to.
Yeah, mine, and I've done, I mean, even before we got together, I was doing some episodes before. It's really hard for me to choose because this is, I believe I said this is episode 17, right? So there's so many episodes really to pick from. But one of my favorites has been the autism one for sure, particularly because of my interest in the disability community.
Mm-hmm.
And just bringing to light the issues that are still going on within that community. And I'm hoping that in the next couple of months, we can even bring in our, start a disability series as well. But that episode was one of my favorites. And I had gotten a couple of aha moments in that episode, even though I've worked quite a bit within the disability community as well. It was just great. I have to say one of my other favorite episodes was, and this was before your time, but it was with, and you know them, Priscilla, Denise, and Erica on the Hair Story Project.
Yes.
That was one of my favorite episodes, and, you know, so many light bulbs were going on in that episode, and, you know, just talking about the Black community and the child welfare system and the issues within that. And I know Hair Story just recently did a forum too, so I would love to get, you know, Richard and Chantel, who are the new amplifiers for that, to the listeners. But there was a lot of aha moments there. For me, generally though, like I said, streamlining across all the episodes has been considering, you know, kind of that lived experience and how important we have to really take that concept into our work.
Yeah, I think it's important. I think you need to get that practical knowledge more so than, because it's not just a textbook, right? And I think once you have that practical knowledge, it makes it a lot, you can see what actually works and what does work when you're in that situation, or if you listen to people who have been in that situation.
Mm-hmm. I agree 100%. Now, I know this is a bit early in the conversation, but I think we should talk about it. We often ask our guests on the show what advocacy means to them, and we've never really gotten a chance to kind of talk about what it means for us.
That is true. That is true. Do you want to go first, or do you want me to?
It's up to you.
Sure, I guess I'll go then. Advocacy for me is... Well, I think if you're going to advocate for someone, the first thing you need to do is to, like, make sure you're in a healthy mind state, in the right frame of mind to do so. And I think advocacy should be putting that person's needs and wants at the forefront and just their overall well-being first. So I don't think it should be, okay, what's best for everyone around. I think if you're going to advocate for one person, you do what's solely best for them. And I think it should include, like, advocating for their mental health, their spiritual health, physical health, mental health. I think it should just be, like, an overall well-rounded sort of deal.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I often, when I think of advocacy, I think of how Erwin Ellman, he's the Ontario Provincial Advocate for Children and Youth, has described advocacy. And it's sometimes walking in front of, behind of, or with a person. And it's really allowing the person saying what type of advocacy they need or want. To me, that's one of the core values, my core values in terms of advocacy, because it's really asking kind of what you were saying, kind of like the individual needs, right? You know, my time in, you know, working in social justice and advocacy, I have kind of evolved a bit. If my listeners are, you know, some of them are from Humber, you know, they'll chuckle at this, but, you know, my time at Humber in child and youth care, I was quite more upfront with advocacy. I think one of my profs labeled me as the roarier. But I've kind of noticed, and, you know, this is with our conversations too, that sometimes advocacy means taking a back seat. Right, and allowing other people to talk about the issues and to make changes for themselves, and it's about supporting other people. So I've kind of evolved with my time. You know, I often, in my early years of in child rights, I guess, I was very, you know, the CRC base, which is the Convention on the Rights of a Child. And I've kind of, although that's a very important document, don't get me wrong, I've kind of just started thinking critically about stuff like that and how adults perceive child rights. So even just thinking of the Convention on the Rights of a Child did not really take into consideration what youth and children thought their rights were. That was adults telling young people what their rights were.
Yeah.
So it's a very, I may be thinking too radically, but I think it's, and again, you know, I'm so, lived experience is so important for me. So when, you know, creating rights like that or talking about issues, it's really going to the community and asking them. And I think, you know, hopefully in the future, we can ask, you know, the young people of the world, what are rights to you? Because, you know, the right to water looks very different here in Canada compared to somewhere else in the world, right?
Definitely.
So to me, it's just important to think critically like that. You know, I was just thinking of it. You know, it's too bad we didn't get Josh on the show either now, because, you know, he was my co-host in the past. And
yeah,
would have been nice to hear his thoughts on this, but maybe we'll have him on the show again. What were you going to say?
It would be interesting to definitely have Josh again to hear his opinion on that. But with what you were saying, like with the adults and how they tell the child, oh yes, these are your rights, instead of kind of asking the child, I think it's very important to include the child or the youth. Because I think those people who are going, especially those in through like time, whether that's they're in foster care, whether that's they have mental health, they're part of the LGBTQ community, and what, like, I think it's important to help them develop their own skills, because they're going to need that for the rest of their life. So if an adult steps in and is like, hey, well, no, I'm taking care of this, and this is how we're doing it, you know, that child or youth doesn't have the opportunity to build up the toolbox that unfortunately they're going to need probably for the rest of their life.
Yeah, very much. And, you know, it goes back to, that kind of touches on, like, learning self-advocating skills, right?
Yeah.
And that's very important, because although it is good to have someone advocating with you, I sometimes think that it's also good to have someone to be able to advocate for yourself, which is really hard sometimes. It's a really, really hard skill to learn.
It's scary. It's scary.
Yeah, very much. We're near almost the end of our episode, and I just wanted to kind of touch upon, you know, what are some topics that you think we should be, you know, kind of talking about on the show, and just kind of letting the listeners know what our kind of next steps are for the show.
Well, for me, something like I have a major curiosity about, and I would just love to hear from, is people who have been through jail. I don't know what you would call it for the youth. I know it. It's stuck in my mind right now. I guess that's juvenile detention or jail. For me, I would like to know kind of how a person gets there. and what happens when they get out, and what social support looks like, and why do people get there in the first place? Why do they keep going back? And how, for me, I feel like there's not enough support out in the community for those people to help make their life better. So I would love to find out more information about that.
Yeah, I think that's a great topic, and it's one that's not often talked about, right? When we think of people committing crimes, we often just say, okay, put them in jail and we'll let the system take care of them. But there are gaps within that system itself.
Yeah, and people feel demonized, people who've been in jail. So instead of looking at them as like, oh yeah, this is the person, they went through difficult times. And granted, like, some of them made really bad mistakes that you should not have made. But that's the rest of their identity. Like, that's their identity for the rest of their life. You're just a criminal. And you don't see them for the rest of who they are.
Yeah, I agree 100%. For me, and I know in the next maybe two episodes, we'll be talking about immigration and refugee.
I would love to hear about that too.
Yeah, I think that would be a very important topic for us to talk about. And I would honestly like to have, the conversation around disability and, child welfare and the Black community again, because those conversations are not often talked about. And sometimes I find that it's the flavor of the month. So they'll get attention for a couple of months, these communities, mm-hmm. and then that's it.
Yeah, it's sad, but it's almost like, I don't want to say a trend or a fad because it's not. They're serious issues, but it's almost like a newspaper has one story and the rest of the newspapers all hop onto the same one.
Yeah.
It's just kind of how it works when they should all be evenly talked about, but unfortunately, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, very much. And, you know, I do encourage our listeners to either comment on the Facebook page where this episode will be posted, or, you know, email us as well, to just tell us what topics they think we should be talking about. You know, I've said a couple of times today, you know, it's important with the lived experience, and I do want the listeners to express to us what issues are important to them, because the show's not really about us, it's about other communities.
Definitely. If we're missing community, we would also love to hear about it, because we want to get that information out to everyone, to basically everyone who we can. And we too, like, you know, we love learning about this and becoming more educated people.
Yes, I agree 100%. Now, I just kind of want to bring the conversation a little bit back to child and youth care and social services. So often, you know, we'll interview our guests who are part of these professions in some way, or work with young people in some way. And we hear about some gaps, but not all of them. And I was just wondering, what are your opinions on some of these gaps? Are there some gaps that you think we should be talking about or we've missed? Just thinking critically here.
My gaps are, if one thing I have noticed, I grew up here and I've worked in a little bit in the field. I think in some cases you need to take the child out of the home, but I feel like in a lot of cases, they're not getting the actual family support. So instead of giving the family therapy, or if the family doesn't have money for groceries, instead of providing them with groceries, the solution seems to be less for the kids.
Yeah, and it would be great if we can have guests to talk about that as well.
Yeah, and for me, like, I think that's huge. If you're not protecting the family, you're not even really protecting the child. Just, okay, what's the basic way, like, you can just fix this, like, you've always done? And I don't think for me that's the best solution. I don't agree with that. And I think it happens a lot. I just think it's a huge disconnect there. I don't see why that's happening. So I think that's something that's important that really needs to be talked about.
For me, and I'm just thinking of the child and youth care field specifically, and I'm going to bring in race in here for a little bit, because mm-hmm. we don't often talk about that, is a lot of our, and I hate to say this, but I find that a lot of the leaders in the field right now are white men or white women. And I would really like to see and maybe have a bit more of a detailed discussion of how do we really take into consideration cultural humility and, you know, different race in the leadership of the child and youth care field, right? How do we bring in different cultures? Because often, you know, I'm just thinking back to our recent child and youth care, I think it was the national conference, but all the leaders were white people, and the only one of color was someone from another country. So that tells me there's systemic issues within the field itself that I think need to be addressed. But, you know, we don't have a lot of time to really get into that issue, but, you know, it's just kind of highlighting it that I really think we need to talk about that too, because we have, and even within government and stuff, right? You know, we have people writing policies. There's the public service is getting a little bit better, but we really need to be pushing forward to include these different communities and races, because like I said, with cultural humility and cultural competency, when you are part of a different community, you understand that community. You know, like I'm a white man, I may not understand fully what another community is going through. So if I'm writing a policy or if I'm one of the leaders of a field, that's going to impact them might in a negative way, right?
You don't have the same, because you don't have the same, perspective or upbringing. You didn't have to go through the exact same thing. So, and it's something like, you know, unintentionally, it could slip your mind, and then you make, exactly. You said you make a policy, and it's like, oh, wait, we screwed over a community by accident without meaning to. So, it's something that should be dealt with, and at the very least, something that should be discussed.
I agree 100%. Hopefully, it would be nice to have one of the, I guess, leaders in the social services and CYC field to meet with us and, you know, just to kind of talk about this issue and, you know, what their perspectives are. And maybe, you know, in all honesty, we could be totally wrong. We really haven't interviewed anyone. So it would be nice to hear their opinion. But from a person standing on the outside, this is what I'm seeing.
I agree, and I also, like you said, I am standing from the outside, so maybe we're wrong, but, I mean, if we're thinking it, I'm just wondering how many other people in our positions are thinking it, how many, like, youth in care are thinking it, how many people from communities that aren't well represented are thinking it, so that's my outlook on it.
I agree. So we're near almost the end of our episode. Is there anything you would like to say, just kind of wrapping up the last couple of months we've been together?
I'm real happy for all the people we've interviewed and all the information I've seen. I think I've experienced, like, you kind of realize, like, well, for part of it is how, like, good I have it. And how people who, like, sometimes, like, they've gone through worse things than me, like, how strong, I guess, they are. And I think everybody has that willpower, and I think everybody has that strength in them. It's just sometimes, like, there has to be something that, like, has potential. So, my thing that I've learned that I would like other people to kind of see is that you do have that strength, and you do have that power in you, and that there are people in organizations, in places that want to help you. So even if you can't find it right away or it's really difficult, there is help, there is hope out there.
Well, one of my main, I guess, messages to kind of end off is, you know, I'm hoping that the listeners kind of continue the conversations that we've started. It doesn't end with us. It shouldn't end with us. Just because, for example, you know, we've kind of ended our series of sexual abuse, and I'm sure we'll bring that topic up again, doesn't mean the conversation had to end with us for the last episode, right? So I really hope the listeners kind of continue to think about these issues and how their work impacts children and youth, and what their implications of their work is. Another thing that I would like to kind of end off with, and I probably bring it up every episode, or almost every episode, is the culture humility perspective. I really, really hope that we can really start thinking about that in the social service field and really considering it more than cultural competency, because it does add it. With culture humility, it really looks at the individual and their culture and how they see their culture. Mm-hmm. And if we really start to think about that, I think it will benefit the work that we do more.
I agree.
So, we didn't have a full 30 minutes, but I think it's a good kind of way to end off, don't you?
Definitely. Good way to end off the year. So, I'm pretty happy with it. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. So I just want to let the listeners know, Happy New Year here in Canada. Have a good New Year. And we'll continue to have these important conversations in January. And if you are a child or youth that has an idea of what we should be talking about, or if you have an idea of what topic we should be talking about, comment on the Facebook page, or you can email me and Jen at yourrighttospeak@gmail.com. And let's raise awareness together.
This concludes this month's episode of CYC Podcast. Tune in next time for more discussions on child and youth care. Subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher. Visit us on our website at cycpodcast.org. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/cycpodcast.